Surah Ahzab was also referred to as Surah An-Nisa or Surah At-Talaq because it deals with these issues related to the women and related to marriage and divorce, and specifically to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and aspects relevant to the life of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've been outlining for you what it was, what were the injunctions that were given to him, and after he had married 9 women, Allah Izzah then revealed the verse, لا يحل لك النساء من بعد ولا أن تبدل بهن من أزواج ولو أعجبك حسنهن. No women are lawful for you after this, nor is it lawful that you replace them, the present one, with other wives, even though their goodness may attract you. And the ulama say that it was after the revelation of this verse that Nabi Salsa was no longer allowed to marry any other wives besides the 9 that he had. And yesterday we went at great length outlining why Nabi Salsa had the 9 wives. And we spoke about the fact that Umm al-Mu'minin said Aisha radiallahu anha came into the home of Nabi Salsa as a young lady, but she had to play a big role in passing the ahadith. She reports 2,200 ahadith that from her. And there's not a single facet of man's life that is not elucidated by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words or deeds. And through his wives, the Ummah learned how to manage their domestic affairs, how to treat their wives and the family. Take, for instance, Umm Salama, who brought her children from a previous marriage with when she married Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In this manner, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught the Ummah how to treat and how to love a stepchild. The Ummah would not have learned the fine aspect of such a relationship if no wife had brought her child into the marriage with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of her children, Abdullah bin Abu Salama, reports that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raised him once while eating, and he was placing his hand in every part of the utensil. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised him, said, Samillah wa kul biyaminik wa kul mimma yalik. Take the name of Allah, eat with your right hand, and eat from the side of the utensil closest to you. If you look with Ummi Juwayriya radiallahu anha, she was captured during an expedition and distributed as part of the booty, and she fell into the lot of Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu anhu, one of his cousins. However, she contracted a deal with her master to set her free upon payment of a stipulated sum, and when she approached Nabi Salsam for financial assistance to pay the sum, he then told her, should I inform you of something better? And when she agreed, Nabi Salsam asked her if she would prefer that he pay her debt and then marry her, and she happily agreed, and the couple were married. And since thousands of her clan were slaves of the Sahaba, in honor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, freed every slave belonging to her clan. Such was the veneration that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that they could not bear to keep any of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's relatives and marriage in captivity. Said Aisha radiallahu anha narrates this incident, and she says that 100 families of Banu Mustaliq were freed on account of Umm al-Mu'mineen Sayyidah Juwayriya's marriage to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She says, I do not know if any woman was so blessed to her people as Sayyidah Juwayriya was. Then moving on, Ummi Habiba radiallahu anha accepted Islam in Mecca and migrated with her husband to Abyssinia. Her husband became a Christian and died a few days later. It was then that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a marriage proposal to her via the king Najashi, and she accepted the proposal, and Najashi himself contracted the marriage in Abyssinia. And she was the daughter of Abu Sufyan, who was then the leader of the Quraysh, who had left no stone unturned in harassing and harming Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Muslimin. And when he received the news of the marriage, he said, Muhammad is a man whose nose cannot be cut. By this he meant that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was an extremely noble person who could not be disgraced, and he added that here we are busy trying to humiliate him, but my daughter has just married him. And one of the reasons behind this marriage was that a kafir leader should be embarrassed. There were numerous other political motives to the marriage, which served the cause of Islam well. From the age of 25 until the age of 50, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained with one wife, Sayyidah Khadija. And it was only after her demise that he married Sayyida Sauda and Sayyida Aisha, with whom he could not live because of her young age. She lived with her parents until the second year of Hijrah. And when she began to live with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was then 54 years old, and until that point he only had two wives. And the following year he married Hafsa for a short while, after which he married Zainab bint Khuzaima, and then he married Zainab bint... she lived only for 18 months after he married to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married in the 40th year after Hijrah. He married Umm Salama, and then he married Zainab bint Jash in the 50th year after Hijrah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was then 58 years old. And it was only after this that he married Sayyida Juwayriya, Umm Habiba, and Hazrat Safiya, as well as Sayyida Maimuna. In essence, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived with only one wife until the age of 54. With Sayyida Khadija for 25 years, and then with Hazrat Sauda for another 4 or 5 years. And at the age of 58, he had 54 wives now, and after which, then the others, he then passed away in the 10th year after Hijrah. And of these wives, only Sayyida Aisha was unmarried before, and while the others were all widows, some of whom had been married twice and even more. And then two of them entered into Nabi Sallallahu's marriage during the last years of his life. Now, the reason why I'm going into detail here is that there is the objections that the multiple spouses that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had was because of lust and carnal passions. And this is obviously a futile, na'udhu billah, a futile objection. The Quraysh, who had noted the impeccable behavior of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the age of 25 as a young man, they offered him young women, but he married a widow who had already been married twice. If he were someone who was only interested in satisfying his passions, he would have never married a 40-year-old woman when he was so young. And during the 25 years of marriage to her, he spent many years in meditation in the cave. He married a second wife at the age of 50 when he had passed the vibrancy of youth. And during all these years, he lived under the scrutiny of the Quraysh, and they never once raised the objection that, you know, he had acted on his lust, or that this was something that was objectionable to them. Whatever objection they could have raised, they raised it, and they explored it to the maximum. But they never raised this objection. And the question is, why is that the case? It is because this was not any founded objection. There was nothing to it. And that is what we need to understand in this regard. So an important lesson in terms of understanding the wisdom behind the multiple spouses that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did have.